Welcome, everyone, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for joining us on yet another steamy afternoon across the state of Wisconsin with lots of steamy news for you today. We've got the state biennial budget. We've got the big, brutal bill getting a vote in the Senate, a tie vote with the vice president breaking that tie. We've got some action on RFK's approach to vaccinations and overall public health, getting a big decision from a federal court today. We're going to cover all of that. I've got a fabulous expert guest here to help me explain some of the Supreme Court's rulings of this past week that were incredibly impactful about what lays in the future for us as citizens. His name is Jim Santel. He'll be with me through this entire show. And Jim and I are very pleased to welcome State Senator and ranking member of the state's Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Johnson. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Senator. Thank you for making time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us what happened this afternoon in the JFC. What was the vote and what are we looking at in the state's biennial budget?
Well, today we had an opportunity to vote on the finalized budget. A lot of negotiations went into this budget, especially on the Democratic side. We were invited to the table fairly late in terms of leadership, but our input made a world of difference in trying to make sure that this budget did as little harm as possible, and we were able to get some good things for the citizens of Wisconsin. So this isn't the budget that we would have chose to create, being a Democrat, but we definitely played a part in making sure that the budget was as palatable as possible.
Tell us about some of those improvements over both the current biennial budget and where Republicans, as led by Senator Lemahieu and Assembly Speaker Voss, had offered as sort of a response to the governor's introduced budget.
So one of the major differences where we played a pivotal role was childcare. We know that the governor proposed $480 million for childcare accounts. We know that we were at risk of losing almost 88,000 slots if childcare providers closed their doors. So we were instrumental in getting more than $300 million to keep childcare centers open. It won't be called childcare counts, and that's okay. The name isn't important, but we were successful in making sure that we got $110 million in monthly payments to childcare providers for basic operating costs such as payroll and rent. $66 million for a new state-funded program called Get Kids Ready, and that's designed for four-year-olds, putting some of those kids, allowing them to be served in daycare centers so they don't have to be pulled out and put into the K-4 programs, but making sure that they're still school-ready. And also, one of the most important things that I'm most proud about is raising the childcare rates to the 75th percentile, which is required by state law anyways. But that's essentially giving childcare providers a raise across the board for the kids that they're caring for, which is extremely important in keeping their doors open. We played a pivotal role in making sure that reimbursement rates were raised for special needs children. Our state Republicans stopped at around 35%. With negotiations between Democrats, we were able to raise those rates to 42% in the first year, 45% in the second. Another thing that we were able to do, instead of $80 million in cuts for the UW system, we're now investing $256 million over the two-year period in the UW systems, making sure that they're able to stay afloat. So we were able to do some really, really pivotal things in making sure that this budget did the least amount of harm as possible.
Folks, if you're just joining us, the big news out of the state of Wisconsin is that the Joint Finance Committee has approved a biennial budget. Senator, you are the only Democrat sitting on the Joint Finance Committee to vote for this biennial budget. And I think it's incredibly important. Again, these three areas of critical funding, child care, special education reimbursement rates, and of course, the UW system funding. The UW system funding swing alone, again, going from $80 million in cuts to $256 million in additional investment, that's $336 million in swing, plus that additional $300 million for child care, those reimbursement rates for special education across the public school system. If you can, again, we're seeing tweets coming out from Chris Larson, Francesca Hong in opposition. Can you address some of those criticisms of the budget? And can you address some of your colleagues on the Joint Finance Committee from the Democratic Party voting against this biennial budget?
Yes, like I said before, this is not a budget that we would have chose to introduce had we been allowed to play a more pivotal role. Since being elected to this to the state legislature since 2013, being able to vote for a portion of this budget or just having the opportunity to vote for this budget was extremely important because this budget, out of all of the budgets that I've witnessed, truly has a bipartisan stamp on it. Before, it was just the governor and key players on the Republican side crafting the budget. But when those talks broke down and they were at a standstill, then Democratic leadership was invited to the table. These are truly items that we fought for. We had to go and make a decision on what areas would most impact our constituents and the constituents around Wisconsin, regardless of what party that they're from. And I can honestly say that we helped to make a bad budget better. And sometimes, you know, in leadership, that's all that you can hope for or ask for. And in terms of being a leader, sometimes when bipartisan efforts are made, then you have to vote for that on behalf of just the sheer intent. We finally had an opportunity to actually contribute and to actually get something in the budget, and that was worth my vote for this bill. It's not a perfect bill. It never will be when you are operating on true bipartisanship. You know, it was said in Joint Finance that every single budget that they introduce has been a bipartisan effort, and I don't necessarily agree with that, right? The governor signs the budget, true, but we all know what happens if he doesn't sign the budget. You have vulnerable communities and neighborhoods and schools that are relying on those funds and relying on that the budget to be passed. And if it's not passed, you know, and we're allowed to break for the summer, there's no rush to come back and start over. But yet those communities and the schools still suffer. And so because of that, Governor Evers realizes that, you know, the path of least resistance and to make sure that those vulnerable communities don't suffer is to sign the budget. This time we had an opportunity to provide a lot more input, and it showed at the end with all of the things that we were able to accomplish.
If I can be so bold, Senator Johnson, as to make this observation, the Democrats that have seen coming out in opposition with Representative Hong as an exception to this, white folks, right? And I think there needs to be an observation, which you made, I think, quite expertly, and that is communities facing the most acute harms at greatest risk. We have to be attuned to and to understand that sometimes in negotiated bipartisan solutions, the harm reduction needs to be emphasized and elevated as opposed to comparing what is and what is possible to what we would wish for. That is not the delta. The delta is, the difference is, how much harm was going to happen with no budget or with a budget under significant delay. And I think we may have just lost the senator. We're gonna work to get her back. Jim, I'm gonna pivot to you a bit here. I have been through budget negotiations. I was at the county and working with our city counterparts during the sales tax negotiations just a couple of years ago. And I watched Democrats, frankly, that were a bit left, perhaps some very far left, oppose these compromise solutions on largely ideological grounds, based off the failure to achieve perfection. Mm-hmm. And again, I heard from a lot of elected Black leaders, hey, you do not understand the harm that may befall some of our most at-risk communities. I applaud elected officials that take these tough votes, that do not let the perfect stand in the way of the good. Your thoughts on the state's biennial budget?
Absolutely. And so that those folks who come forward and say, we've got to be thoughtful about what's going on right down the street, right? Those operations that are affecting people. And if you place this ideological position above everything else, people are not served. The interests of the community are not addressed. And the other thing that I would say in following up on the senator's very good comment, and she's back with us now, is you and I both know, all of us know, if everybody leaves a room in litigation and even in legislation, everybody's a little bit unhappy, you probably have a settlement that's going to last and make some sense. And you can also, Senator, as you just said, you can explain that to people, as you just did. You're confronted by others of all parties and asked about your vote. You can explain the reasons, the practical reasons for doing it. Everybody leaves a little bit unhappy. We can't get everything we want in a good democratic system. That's your point, right, Senator?
Correct. It is. There were some things there that were really hard pills for me, such as the increased daily rates for Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. Before, we thought that those were going to be $840,000 per juvenile offender per year, it's $912,000 for the first year. And the second year is $1.6 million. So there was some really, really poor decision making and spending in this budget, but there were a lot of really good things to applaud as well.
As I hear you, State Senator LaTanya Johnson, we need to educate, not incarcerate. That has the largest return on a taxpayer dollar. I applaud you for your leadership, for the tough vote, for the tough negotiations. What do you want to say to Wisconsinites that might have reservations? We've got just about 30 seconds left, Senator.
I want to say that this is a proven record right here that when we work together, we're able to accomplish things for taxpayers. And this was a clear indication of bipartisanship. Nobody got everything that they wanted, but we did. We were forced to come to the table, sit down, and make some tough decisions. And that was what was most important.
You're accomplishing here. Much in the way of childcare, special education, and our university system. Congratulations, Senator LaTanya Johnson, for your leadership in what was a grueling budget debate. We'll be back. Jim Santel and I discuss more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.